This is the Six Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball. By fans, for fans. Go Magic! What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Six Man Show. It is February 15th, 2021, the day after Valentine's Day. Hope you guys all enjoyed that with your loved ones. If not by yourself, that's okay too. Luke, what's going on, buddy? Anything new?
No, not really. Did Valentine's Day look different than in years past for you last night due to COVID stuff or, you know, an extra baby? What did Valentine's Day? What'd you guys do?
We actually went out Saturday night. We went to dinner. We go to the same Italian restaurant every year. This year was a little bit different. Usually we get like a sitter or somebody to watch the kids, but we took the girls. We brought my mom also. Had a nice dinner, tried baked clams for the first time. Definitely a fan of that.
Really?
Yeah, man. Outside of that, pretty regular. We just didn't want to do the whole Sunday night thing. What about you guys?
So I was working Friday and Saturday. We had, hockey. So I was working those games. And, then on Sunday we just did something low key. We got some sushi. Sorry, the cat's on the table right now. I'm about to smack it into Narnia. But we had some sushi and, just stayed in, ate some sushi and Harper slept. So it was great.
Question about sushi.
Are you like
you go like super hardcore with like the raw sushi, or are you more of like the tempura? Do you go for like the fried wraps? Like you go for like fried roll, I should say, like a California roll type of deal, or what do you usually go for?
So when I got introduced to sushi, I got eased into it, and I was, you know, I was a California roll boy, but these days I'm raw salmon, tuna, whatever it is. But I still can like cooked, you know, rolls. Nothing wrong with some California rolls, Philadelphia rolls, get the cream cheese in there. There's some good roll combinations, whether it's cooked or not. But yeah, last night, I think we both went the raw route. So it was good.
Now, I know you like the horseradish, Sean. Are you like really into the wasabi? Do you do soy sauce? Do you indulge in the pickled ginger? I don't touch the ginger.
No, I don't touch the ginger. No, I'm a big wasabi guy.
Yeah, big wasabi guy.
Anything spicy, I love it. We had gumbo tonight, and, gumbo traditionally is pretty spicy, but I don't think that the recipe called for enough Cajun seasoning because it wasn't spicy enough for me. But wasabi, big wasabi guy. Last piece of the roll, I always do just a little bit more wasabi than I would on the other pieces, and just try to really, you know, clear the airways for me.
In true hot ones fashion. The last bite, an extra dab there.
Yeah, I would. I can't tell you how quickly I would go on that show just to have all their stuff. I know they actually sell like their hot sauces and stuff, so that'd be pretty sweet. That's definitely a dream of mine to just get that set. It's an easy dream to accomplish, but I'm gonna get there.
Are you a Tijuana Flats fan? Do you enjoy that restaurant?
Yeah, I don't think that we have them here in Omaha, but yeah, we did like Taco Tuesdays and all that kind of stuff at Tijuana. They have flautas. They have the chocolate flautas,
oh, yeah.
The dessert flautas. Mm. Good night.
Yes, sir.
I'll eat those forever.
Have you ever been to BJ's, steakhouse and brewery with the Pazookies?
Is that the one that the Pazookies? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a problem. I've had a Pazookie. That's good.
Pazookies are great. Pazookies are awesome, but because essentially it's just like a cookie in a pan, right?
Yeah.
Basically. So
like
pre-COVID.
Skillet, they bring it out to you.
Right. And pre-COVID, we did that with some friends before it was frowned upon to eat out of the same pan as other people, which now sounds disgusting to me, and really just high risk. But I'd be lying if I said eventually I wouldn't get back to Pizookie sharing. So I'm sorry. That might be irresponsible of me, but those things, there's just something about it. They bring it to you. You know, you bring the skillet out to you and your friends, and you just have just a scoop of ice cream on top. Good night. That's it.
Absolutely.
Nothing better.
Now, when with the sushi, do you like, are you barehanding it? Are you using a fork? Do you go with the chopsticks?
I'm uncultured. So I go fork.
No,
and I can't stand when places don't give me a fork to start, and I have to be like, hey, can I get a fork, and make like a joke about how I'm not like coordinated enough to use chopsticks. Like, I don't like making that joke every time, but I have to, because otherwise I feel like an idiot. I feel like an idiot either way. But this is for every sushi place out there. Bring me a fork off the bat. I don't want to ask you for a fork. I don't. It's embarrassing. Just bring me a fork.
So I was never into sushi before I met Carmen, and probably we've been together 8 years now, probably going back like 5 or 6 years ago, she introduced me to sushi, and I was really against it because the whole like raw fish thing just kind of creeped me out. But we started the same way with like the California rolls. There's a restaurant in the area that we live, Kazu's. Everybody knows it is like, you know, pretty much the go-to sushi place. But they would have stuff like, they had like a Tampa Bay Buccaneer roll, like at one point, which was like another fried roll that they did. But the thing that I love is like the little, I think it's actually caviar, if I'm not mistaken, but like the little orange like balls on top of the, like they do, it's called like a Jade Dragon roll here. It's got like all kinds of like spicy stuff in it. And like the little orange things on there are just absolutely fire. And she had to teach me how to use chopsticks, and I was just like so happy with myself that I was able to do that. So now, like, I just do it as a flex. Like, we go places, or even if we get like Chinese food sometimes, I'll just rock the chopsticks. Which, like, eating rice with chopsticks is one of the most difficult things on earth to do. I don't know why people do that, but sometimes you just gotta flex on them.
No, Lauren uses chopsticks, but I don't know. For me, it's like, I know how to use a fork. I don't need to like prove to anybody that I like need to use chopsticks.
That's fair.
Just let me get into that thing with the fork and eat like the American I am, you know? Let me just enjoy the sushi. That's it. That's all I want to do.
Weird thing about wasabi, like, I know you and I have talked about horseradish and how it's not one of my favorite things. Like, you go to Arby's and you're going the horsey sauce, which is the horseradish sauce there. Something about like, was like horseradish and like meat, like beef, doesn't really do it for me. But with sushi, I will do wasabi. Like, I do enjoy that. Mostly it's soy sauce for me, but with the sushi, I will go the wasabi. But anyways, if you guys couldn't tell, this is an Orlando Magic podcast, and each week we talk Orlando Magic basketball. We go off on tangents about food from time to time.
And when your team sucks, you
like
have
this,
to do this,
a season
by the way.
Like this, sometimes you have to talk and entertain other thoughts, or you're just going to go crazy. But, Luke, we're going to get into the state of the Magic like we do every week, talk about how the team is doing. So, Orlando Magic, current record of 10-18 after going 1-3 on the week West Coast road trip, a loss in Portland to the Trailblazers, a loss in Golden State to the Warriors, and then a win against the Kings. And then we got another loss to end the week last night in Phoenix against the Suns. The Magic are currently 12th in the Eastern Conference, 28th in the league in offensive rating, and 20th in the league in defensive rating. So we were 25th in the league last week in defensive rating, and kind of climbed up a little bit. And we were 27th in offensive rating, and then we dropped down to 28th in the league. 538 gives the Magic a 21% chance of making the playoffs, up from 19 last week. Really, the major news this week, we got Michael Carter-Williams back from injury. He missed 19 games with a left foot strain. Finally got Al-Farouq Aminu back after a year plus coming back from a meniscus injury. Played 4 minutes in the first half against the Warriors, and then we have not seen him since. Did not play the last two games due to knee injury management. So you can kind of take that as you will. I believe it was it the Portland game or was it the Golden State game? A few minutes into the second quarter, I believe it was, Cole Anthony goes up for a jump shot, strains the right shoulder. We have not seen him since. James Ennis has had a groin strain. Frank Mason strained his groin as well. So it was like we were getting a couple of guys back, and then we lost a bunch of guys like almost immediately. So the reason I bring up Frank Mason is because the Magic have now waived Frank Mason and have signed Chasen Randall. So if you guys are unfamiliar with Chasen Randall, he actually killed the Magic a few years ago in a Washington Wizards uniform. And we actually, like, our next episode after that game was, who the heck is Chasen Randall? Because had no idea who the kid was, lit us up, didn't ever hear from him again until now we've signed him. So things have really come full circle for the six-man show. But it really sucks for Frank Mason. I mean, get signed. We waived Jordan Bone. He's the backup point guard. Cole gets hurt, so now he's starting, has a real opportunity to get real minutes, and then strains his groin almost immediately, and now the kid is waived. So, yeah, he got paid, you know, for a few days from the Magic, but mostly the only thing that he has to show for his stint with the Magic is now a strained groin.
Yeah, so, it was short-lived. I mean, it was a lot of talk of, you know, former G League MVP, this, that, and the other. He put up numbers solely – I'm not going to say solely, but pretty much because he had to, where he's playing like 30 minutes a game and stuff like that for the games. It was a great opportunity for him. But yeah, unfortunately it comes to an end. Chasen Randall comes in. I didn't look and see where he has been this year. I know he hasn't logged an NBA minute this year. He might've been G League.
He was G League. I believe he was playing with the OKC Blue.
Oh, yep. He played.
I'm not mistaken. I could have that wrong, but I know he was in the G League.
Yeah.
Last
he was
played
in the G League
in 2020 with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, he only played two games in the G League in the bubble, obviously. 20 points a game, 37% from three, 55% from the field, blah, blah, blah. For those of you, it's common. A guy gets brought on, regardless of what he is, if you know that he's going to play immediately, you start to think, oh, what if he could, you know, be something and contribute, and maybe he, you know, turns into a good player or a role player here on the team. To give you an idea, not to be a Debbie Downer to further this, you know, Orlando Magic terrible season, but Frank Mason is, to me, a better player than Chasen Randall. A little 2 inches shorter, but, like, last year played, like, 20-some games in the G League or something for the Buck, Wisconsin Herd, I should say, for the Bucks team. And averaged like 27 a game. Chasen Randall, in less games, averages like 20 points in his career for the G League. So, not thinking much of it. I don't think anybody necessarily is. But in case you guys start to, just know he probably won't be better than Frank Mason. Maybe he's equal to the contributions that Frank Mason made. And please, just nobody else get hurt. I don't want to see another guy who gets a good opportunity to get waived. I just... stay healthy, Chasen Randall. That's all I'm asking from you.
Well, it really sucks that, you know, we get Michael Carter-Williams back, right? And, like, really, well, it was really the following game. But, you know, you have Cole and you have Frank Mason, and you're like, okay, well, we're just going to kind of bide our time until Michael Carter-Williams comes back, not knowing it was going to be, you know, within the next couple of games. And now you lose both of those guys. You're down to your only healthy point guard on the roster is Michael Carter-Williams. And that's why the Magic made this move. It wasn't that, you know, Chasen Randall is amazing or that Frank Mason, you know, wasn't, you know, good enough. Obviously, they thought enough about Frank Mason to bring him on and waive Jordan Bone. But this was really just a case of not having enough healthy point guards on the roster. And Dwayne Bacon and Terrence Ross in the second unit, you know, I'll give it to them. They held their own. But they're not getting it done. It's not what the Magic are looking for. It's pretty crazy that we're at the point in the season now where we're talking about, you know, what Chasen Randall is going to give us more than Frank Mason is going to give us, right?
Yeah.
So here's to hoping that Cole is going to come back, you know, really, really quickly, and then we can insert Cole back into the starting lineup. Michael Carter-Williams can be the backup. Hopefully we can get some amount of health going here. It's just really crazy that you lose – Frank Mason, not to mention Evan Fournier is now out again with back spasms, so came back, you know, for a handful of games, and now he is out again. Then Frank Mason injures his groin very next game. James Ennis on a fast break just pulls up and starts grabbing his groin area. He strained his groin. Mm-hmm. It's just like, man, when is it going to stop? You know, I asked the question when Markel tore his ACL if it was fair to start questioning the training staff, and I got a few people that told me no, absolutely not, blah blah blah. And now you've heard that Markel Fultz, you know, he trusts this training staff with his life and everything like that. But since then, you know, Evan Fournier's gone out multiple times now. Michael Carter Williams has been out this season as well. Aaron Gordon's been out. Now Cole's out. Frank Mason. James Ennis is out again. Al-Farouq Aminu comes back for 4 minutes, and now he's missed the last two games due to knee injury management. So that tells me that he wasn't really ready to come back, because if he was, you wouldn't need this. Like, sure, he'd be on a minutes restriction, but you wouldn't have this. He's going to play 4 minutes and then miss the next two, three games, whatever the case may be. So really, Luke, I mean, we can sit here and complain about the fact that the Magic can't score. They're not defending at a high level, yada, yada, yada. They're not shooting the ball particularly well. Everything comes down to the injuries on this team. Like, I feel like we just say the same thing every single week now for the last, you know, month and a half. But there's not a ton to analyze with this team, because this is not the team that the front office planned on having going into the season. You know, we can complain about, you know, the fact that, you know, Dwayne Bacon is, you know, playing, you know, 30 plus minutes a night, or we can talk about Gary Clark playing, you know, 25 minutes a night or whatever. The plan was for those guys not to have to play pretty much at all. I mean, Dwayne Bacon maybe a little bit, but when we talk about Chase and Randall or Frank Mason or Gary Clark, right? Like, these guys are yeah, not guys that are supposed to even be on the floor for the Magic. So
do you think that guys like Fournier, back spasms, that type of stuff, you've spoke to it and said, like, back spasms are no joke, yada, yada, yada. Do you think by chance the front office is already starting to play the tank game? Is it too soon to think that they're doing that?
This is my thing with tanking, and I wanted to talk to you about this anyway. It's so frustrating because, like, the front office doesn't want to really tip their hand, right? Like, they don't want anybody to know what they're doing. They want to try to maintain as much leverage as they can with these other teams. If they come out and say, hey, we're blowing it up, we're tanking, we're selling, blah, 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 if they say that publicly, then teams are calling them, like, oh, you know, then they're going to want guys, you know, 50 cents, 25 cents on the dollar, because now you've put it out there that you're trying to move those guys. And if you don't move them to me, you might not be able to move them to somebody else and blah, blah, blah. So they're understandably playing their cards really close to the vest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for our sake, like, I wish we just had, like, this super secret, like, super Magic fan group chat with John and Jeff, and they're like, hey, guys, I understand things are crazy right now, but this is what we're doing, just so that I could honestly sleep at night, because I just have no idea. The front office isn't giving us any idea if we're going one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that did cross my mind today when we're talking about Evan Fournier, you know, missed, you know, a few weeks, came back with the back spasms, just played a handful of games. Not a handful of games. It's like 10 or 11 games or so. And now he's out again with back spasms. It's like, I wonder what's really going on there. Like, me, this week, I've actually been dealing with back spasms. Like, I just tried to pick up my daughter and just turned the wrong way, and then it's just, like, pain that just drops you to your knees, like, instantly. And I've been, like, doing icing and stretching and everything like that, and it's just, like, I'm not out there playing an NBA game. I'm just trying to, you know, be able to reach into the fridge and grab a gallon of milk without any type of discomfort. So it's definitely a real thing, but no, it's definitely curious. I have no idea what the front office is going to do. We talked about this a little bit last week when I don't want to start the whole Mo Bamba thing again, just because, like, we've said all that we can say, and we'll know in the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks exactly what's going to happen with Mo. But, you know, we don't really have a good idea what the front office wants to do as far as, like, the development of the young players. Everything that they've done tells me that they're going to try to make the playoffs. And I made this point last night in, like, my little post-game video. if you look at the standings in the East right now, again, the Magic, I believe, are 12th or 13th in the East. I'm going to pull up the standings right now. So the Magic are 9, 10, 11, 12th in the East right now. So we're looking at the Eastern Conference. Look, we've got Philadelphia 18-9, Milwaukee 16-11, Brooklyn Nets 16-12, Pacers 14-13, Celtics 13-13, Charlotte 13-15, Knicks 13-15, Raptors 12-15, Miami Heat 11-15. I feel like all of those teams right now, we can say that they're definitely better than the Magic. Like, a lot of those teams we've played, but also at the same time, like, who thinks that Miami is really going to end the season at the 9 seed? Like, at some point, they're going to figure it out. They're going to get healthy enough, and they'll go on a run, and they'll probably end up, like, somewhere, like, the 4th, 5th, 6th seed, somewhere in there. After the Heat, though, you've got the Hawks at 11-15, the Bulls at 10-15, the Magic 10-18, the Cavs 10-18. We're only above the Cavs because, you know, we beat them this year, so we own that head-to-head tiebreaker. The Hawks, the Bulls, the Magic, and the Cavs, I feel like they're all, like, right around the same area. I definitely think the Hawks are talented enough to, if they can figure things out, they could probably run away with the 10th seed. But if they don't, right, those four teams, again, the Hawks, Bulls, Magic, Cavs, all of those teams are going to spend the rest of the season within probably 2, 3, maybe even 4 games of the 10th seed. And at that point, going into March and April, I could see John and Jeff sitting down with Cliff and like, look, we're about to get a couple of guys back. We're going to get, you know, a little bit more healthy here. And they could talk themselves into chasing that 10th seed. Now, the 10th seed this season means that you have the opportunity in the play-in game. You have an opportunity to make the playoffs. I don't think the Magic would win a play-in game right now. Definitely not right now with 8 freaking healthy guys on the roster, but I just feel like if the team set that as their goal at the beginning of the season, which everything they did told us that was the move, you know, bringing everybody back, keeping everybody together, not making any big moves. They wanted to run things back. In the first 2 weeks of the season, it looked like we were going to have no problem doing that. But, and I guess, you know, ask you to jump in here, but that's how I feel. Like, I feel like the front office is going to talk themselves into chasing the 10th seed, and I don't think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I don't think it's the right thing to do. I'm actually tracking games right now as Zach LaVine hits a huge shot to put them up 1 against the Pacers, 27 seconds remaining. I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't, you know, box score watching the teams that are below Orlando or right around Orlando and secretly rooting for them to win games. I'm at that point, Jonathan. I hate that it got there. I never wanted to get here. I was very vocal against, like, I don't want to be bad this year. I don't want to be bad this year. But guess what? You look around, and what other team has a two-way player from the G League as a starting point guard? Nowhere. That's not happening. Another thing that kind of put me in that realization of, oh, we're bad, is when Vooch scores 43 and we beat the Bulls by 4. The Bulls, who are right around us in record. You also have to remember, besides Cleveland, nobody else in the bottom started hot, I don't think, like Orlando did. Orlando essentially got a leg up and got a head start. And Orlando is not the same team that they were. Right now, the Bulls are a better team than the Orlando Magic. Cut and dried, plain and simple, that's all it is. I don't think that Orlando will be fighting for a 10 seed at the end of this season. The writing's on the wall. Like I said, you just have to take a look at the starting lineup and see that you're going to have Chase and Randall, who just got signed, probably starting the next game that he's, like, able to. MCW will start, obviously. But, like, regardless, he's going to play meaningful minutes, which just shows you this team is bad. This team is bad, and it's all because of injuries. I don't think it's a front office thing. But that being said, front office, their role in the upcoming months is going to be pivotal, especially approaching deadline here in like 40 days. So they're going to probably, I mean, they're going to show their cards soon. Hopefully we get some, you know, the Magic are shopping whoever, X player. I have no idea who's going to be at this point. It could be Evan Fournier. It could be Aaron Gordon. I really don't know. Regardless, this is not really, I don't think this is an intentional tank. Maybe they are, you know, Evan's like, oh, my back's just not 100% today. And they're like, okay, no point in risking. Especially if they're trying to trade Evan at the deadline. They want him to be healthy when they trade him. Because, yes, you can trade an injured player, but a team is not necessarily going to want that player. So if Evan can get healthy and they can have him healthy and good by March 25th, they can ship him. So we'll see. That's another theory, is that they're just kind of holding him out so that he'll stay healthy and get better and not have these back spasms, you know, come physical time and all that.
No, I thought about that as well, and that's fair to talk about Evan and the back injury and whether or not they're kind of biding their time and taking it really, really easy and really slowly with him just in case they do want to trade him. But let me, you know, you said that you don't think this team has a chance to, or you don't see this team competing for the 10th seed. And let me just run a few scenarios by you and get your thoughts on this, because this is where I'm at. So right now, like, starting five is Michael Carter-Williams, Dwayne Bacon, Gary Clark, Vucevic, and who am I missing? Who else are we starting right now? No, Terrence is starting right now. So that's our starting five right now. Oh, Coming off of the bench, we've got Kem, we're going to have Chase and Randall, and we're going to have Mo Bamba, like, as of right now, right? So, and Chuma, excuse me. So this is what I think Cliff should do, like, literally tomorrow. Gary Clark is no longer starting. Get Chuma Okeke into the starting lineup. I want to see him get more minutes. I want to see him play alongside Vucevic more, you know, Terrence Ross, you know, even, you know, Michael Carter-Williams, Cole Anthony, whoever it is, when they start to get healthy. Until Aaron comes back, Chuma should be the starting four. Like, I've seen enough of Gary Clark. I want to see as little Gary Clark as we possibly can at this point. And I think Chuma going up against, like, the better players of the league would do him a lot of good. So we should do that immediately, right? Cole comes back. Cole is now going to be your starting point guard. Evan comes back. He's the starting two guard again. Probably continue to start Dwayne Bacon at the three, probably for the rest of the year. When Aaron comes back, Aaron's your four. You've got Vooch at the five. And then backups, you've got Michael Carter-Williams. You've got Terrence Ross. You've got Kem. And you've got Gary Clark if you want. You've also got Mo in there. That like 9-10 man rotation, I think you can talk yourself into that team pushing for the 10th seed. Like, we don't have any reason to believe this right now, the way that this season has gone, but if you get everybody back and everybody stays healthy, and at that time, maybe you've got, you know, 15-20 games left, and you say, okay, we're four games back, I 100% could see this team making up enough ground and, like, barely by the skin of their teeth making the 10th seed. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but I could understand the logic if the front office talks themselves into that. Do you disagree with that?
I agree that by the skin of their teeth they could make a 10th seed. But you used a lot of operative words there. If the Magic stay healthy and things like that, the biggest one being if they stay healthy. If they stay healthy, sure. That's a 10 seed. Yeah. Probably. But I don't trust that they're staying healthy. I would like to think that they would, but there's nothing about this season that makes me think it's not just going to keep trending in the same direction. We're going to have guys with ankles and groin injuries and whatever, back spasms. Like, I don't know what to think. Like we keep saying, we will know more by deadline, and it's the obvious thing to say, but it's true. Thing I will say about Chuma, he's going to be starting soon. I don't think anybody.
I hope so.
Well, the if you look at it, last game against the Suns, him and Gary Clark both played 28 minutes. They're playing equal minutes. Only thing that changes is what unit they're going against. The game before that, Gary Clark outplays him by like 4 or 5 minutes. Chuma outplayed Gary Clark by 4 or 5 minutes. Game before that, Gary Clark plays like 18 minutes. Chuma plays like 32. So the writing's on the wall there too. I think Chuma's going to be starting. I hope that Mo continues to get some run. I hope his minutes get upped even more. I wouldn't hold my breath, but I hope that's the case.
Mo is one person coming back from being back to not playing whatsoever. Like, if Aaron comes back or James Ennis or Al-Farouq Aminu and they're, like, really back, Mo's out of the lineup. It's stupid, but that's just the reality.
Yeah, and it would take Mo having – I don't know. Actually, forget it. It wouldn't take Mo having a great game because we've seen it, and it doesn't change anything. So, yes, you're right. AG comes back, it's over. Ennis, whoever. So, all that to say, Chuma will be in the starting lineup soon. I think that that's kind of a given at this point, given if you look at the minute distribution. He often plays more than Gary Clark. So, we'll see. I mean, the biggest thing for me is that he gets minutes. Then the next biggest thing is that he plays against good players, which he's playing bench units right now, which is good. I mean, just ease him along, I guess. But I would like to see him in the starting lineup, play against starters to start the game, and then, you know, distribute it like however you want throughout the game, I guess, rotation-wise. But, yeah, I think we're in a good spot with Chuma. Chuma's shown some great flashes, and I think it's just a matter of knocking rust off. But he looks pretty good, so I'm excited about his development.
All right, let's take a quick break. Yeah, I think as we start to approach the deadline, and we can talk about a few of these things. So I wanted to talk really briefly about, you know, all the – I wouldn't even call them rumors. It's just terrible attempts at, you know
– it's trade season,
possible
baby.
Trades – of Vucevic being traded machine. To Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's honestly, it's just getting out of hand. And I tweeted today because I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast. He had Kevin O'Connor on, and they spent a good amount of time talking about Boston, as they always do. You know, they're both Celtics fans. But they proposed a trade for Nikola Vucevic using, you know, their $29 million trade exception or $26 million, whatever it is. But it was essentially Robert Williams, Aaron Nesmith, Romeo Langford, and then like a few first-round picks and swaps. I don't think Orlando is going to be interested in Boston's first-round picks at all, because you're talking about like the like low 20s at absolute best. So that's just a non-starter for me. And then just none of those other pieces are appealing to the Magic whatsoever. In my opinion, it was literally just a trade of how can we get a super good guy giving up absolutely nothing? And you know, the Magic should basically thank us in the meantime for doing it. And it's just the dumbest thing that I've seen. I don't see Vooch to Boston coming from any Magic fans. It's all from Boston fans or other members of the media. This is where it starts and stops with the Magic. If we're giving you Nikola Vucevic, we want Jaylen Brown. And we know that Boston isn't doing that, so it's just a non-conversation for all of us. We're like, we're not giving you what you want, and you're not going to give us what we want. So there's not a conversation to be had here. And that's really all that I have to say about it, Luke. I don't know if you want to add anything else to that. I just thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, no, it's definitely – it's trade season. Fire up the trade machine on ESPN. And I'm sure that's what, you know –
You use the trade machine? Bro, if you're not using trade NBA, you need to – welcome to 2021, dog. Like, honestly, though. If you haven't used trade NBA, use trade NBA. In my opinion, it's so much easier. It's a better experience. You have so, like more information and everything like
it's a
that.
Better
trade
way
NBA,
to make,
I'm
it's
telling
a better
you.
Way to make me feel like I'm sitting in the office with Wildham.
I mean, yeah, I guess you could say that, yeah.
Can you like trade picks and stuff or what?
I mean, does that really matter though? Like
I mean,
2K, like it makes sense to throw them in there, like sweeten the trades, but like you could always just say, oh, theoretically we would give them, you know, our first round pick. It doesn't There's no like trade probability.
Oh, so they've got trending players being traded. Have you seen that?
Yeah, Nikola Vucevic was like 11th earlier when I looked.
No, not anymore,
and
bro.
It's all just.
He's
well,
20 now.
Well, what is he first?
He's 20.
He's 20th. Okay, that makes me feel.
Andre Drummond's
people
first,
are coming
obviously.
To their senses.
Yeah, no, it's
right.
Like
yeah, Blake's probably
I'll give
up
it,
there.
Well, it's crazy. He is up there, but not really. So like, it's. I wonder if this is like trending players, meaning like fans trading, right?
Yeah, it's all fan driven. Like
so, yeah,
people are throwing
like
them into the
Drummond,
trade machine.
John Collins, Kyle Lowry, Aaron Baines, Patrick McCaw, Norman Powell. I wonder who people are throwing into trades with Kyle Lowry, Aaron Baines, Patrick McCaw, gosh. Norman Powell, Kemba, Blake, Mike Scott, Oladipo. I mean, there's just, wow, that's a wild website there. Interesting. Yeah. But, yeah, so I guess go to Trade NBA, guys. I learned something new today.
There you go. You're welcome.
Cool kids don't use the ESPN trade machine anymore.
No, sir. But yeah, I thought it was pretty ridiculous to talk all that, you know, Vooch to Boston. But the other thing that I wanted to talk about is, so like from like the beginning of the season, you and I went in with the expectation that at some point it was likely that Evan and or Aaron would get moved. And my feelings on that have changed a little bit. So I don't see Aaron getting moved at this point just because the lack of depth that we have at the forward position, where at the beginning of the year that was like a strength, and now it's just like a outright need. And the fact that there's not really a rush to trade him because he still has another, you know, year on his deal next year. His contract value is going to decline next year, so it'll be a little bit easier to trade him next year. And, you know, he's a guy that this season has played really well when he was healthy, you know, running the point forward and everything like that. However, Evan, I still think is probably the most likely guy to get moved on the roster, just because I feel like he still has decent value, especially if you're trading him to a, you know, a playoff team or even a contender. And then Kem. So we've talked about, I don't want to beat the dead horse with Mo and everything like that, but I think it's the best idea for the franchise to trade Mo just to get him out of the way to trade Kem just to get him out of the way for Mo, to get Mo on the floor, to get Mo playing time. And that's the only way that you're going to do it. It's not just to move him. I mean, I have my doubts on whether or not the Magic would want to pay Kem this offseason. He's going to be a free agent this year. He's legitimately been one of the best backup centers in the league. Okay, and if the Magic have not given up on Mo, then they're not going to trade Kem. That's what this whole thing comes down to, is if you've given up on Mo, you keep Kem. If you haven't given up on Mo, you move Kem. And whatever they do or do not do at the trade deadline is going to tell me everything that I need to know about Mo. And one of those paths is really, really, really going to frustrate me, and the other is going to be like just a saving grace. And if like, okay, we're still kind of on the same page with the front office as far as what the long-term goals are.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's been the case for the past month or so now. The topic of conversation is Mo Bamba. Once we got it out of the way and Cliff really showed his cards to us, it's about talent at this point. It's not about conditioning or anything like that. Yeah, it's very clear that one of them should be traded at the deadline. But I don't know if the front office will even see it that way. I believe Kem expires this year, this offseason. So, I mean, so he'll expire, and if he's still on the team, if they keep him at the deadline, maybe it means nobody wanted him. Maybe that means that they couldn't get much for him, but I have a hard time believing it. Because he has, like you said, he has been one of the best backups despite, you know, he's just kind of in the way at this point. It's not anything personal. It's just like, we want to see Mo Bamba develop and play. So, I don't know. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to go the Kem route next year. It could just mean that they just want to get him off the books at the end of the season. The season's a wash anyway, but I would hope that they would want, if the season was a wash to them, that they would play Mo Bamba and just trade Kem Birch. But, again, I don't know. You don't know. We have no idea what direction this front office is thinking. We know that they're very stubborn, maybe too conservative, and they want to win. So I just hope that like they don't give someone an offer, they counter it, and it's still a decent offer, but they're like, no, just because it's not the offer that they came to the table with. So I really don't know what to think. But yes, you're correct in the fact that, you know, it does tell you something. It might not be definitive, but it does tell you something. If one of those guys get traded, you find out something.
Well, I don't think if they wanted to move Kem, they would have an issue moving Kem. He is expiring. He's making right. $3 million this year. You could pretty much just move Kem. And if you get a second-round pick, in my opinion, that's a win. Like, if anything that you get back for Kem, in my opinion, as long as it's not a center that is going to get in Mo's way, which I don't think is really makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, a playoff contending team or a team with title aspirations that perhaps needs another, you know, backup big, a guy, you know, high energy, set good screens, you know, do a lot of like the little things. You know, Kem Birch, you could do a lot worse than Kem Birch.
Right.
I mean, as much crap as, like, the anger that we have is not directed towards Kem in any way or fashion. I know it comes off of like that, but it's really just Cliff and the lack of opportunity that Mo has been given. But if they decide to move Kem, I think you can move Kem pretty easily. I think a team would be willing to give up a second-round pick if they have any interest in him whatsoever. Now, whether or not the Magic would even utilize that second-round pick, that is a whole nother conversation, something that remains to be seen. The Magic, at least this front office, doesn't really seem to value second-round picks all that much. So, but, yeah, we've got, what is it, just like 5 weeks between now and the trade deadline. So it's March 25th is going to be the trade deadline this year. So, I mean, looking at the schedule for the Orlando Magic, this week coming up, we've got the Knicks on Wednesday. We've got Golden State again at home on Friday. And then we've got Detroit on Sunday. So the Magic don't really have too many more games before the quote-unquote first half of the season is over. I'm pulling up the schedule here just to give us a better idea. Yeah, so we've got we're home for New York, Golden State, Detroit again at Brooklyn, home for Utah, Dallas, and Atlanta, and then we've got the All-Star break. It's not really a break. I mean, people are talking about the All-Star game. There are some people that think we're not going to have an All-Star game because players will drop out or whatever the case may be, but we're probably going to have, you know, 2-3-ish weeks of basketball in the second half of the season before the trade deadline hits. So, I mean, I've been talking since like the end of January that the between that point and the trade deadline is really the whole season, and the Magic have won 1, 2, 3, 4 games in the last month. So,
hey, that's one a week,
in my
baby.
Opinion. Yeah, I mean, right now they're at, like, the last few weeks, basically since Markel is out, they're averaging like winning 1 out of every 4 or 5 games. Like, that's not really what you want. In a normal season, you'd go, like, what, like 20-62 or 21-61 at that rate. And that's, you know, you're looking at a top pick at that point. Again, we've talked about this the last few weeks, but you talk about how you're, like, rooting for these other teams to win. And I'm still just going back and forth because I do see the value in trying to stay competitive and trying to win games. I do believe that if this team was, you know, pretty healthy this year, just looking around the league, we'd probably be, you know, the 4th or the 5th seed in the East right now. But that's not how the season has played out. And just looking long term, like, even if you talk yourself into, all right, just bring everybody back, everyone will be healthy next year, we'll have Markel, we'll have Jonathan Isaac, we'll have another lottery pick, we'll have Cole, we'll have Chuma, we'll either have Cam or Mo or whatever, and talking yourself into, all right, this is the year that we make the second round of the playoffs. With that roster, I could see you doing that. But then how much further is that roster going to get? With Evan, with Vooch, with Aaron, like, that's probably going to be the ceiling of that team. And sure, that's going to feel great next year, but 3, 4, 5 years from now, when we take a look and Jonathan Isaac's a little older and Markel's a little older, and Mo Bamba either did or didn't work out, and now Chuma and Cole, you have to decide whether or not you're going to extend those guys and another rookie perhaps. Are you going to be like, man, we probably should have just lost out that 1 year when things looked really bleak. Try to get, just push the chips in, see where the lottery, the ping pong balls, where however that comes out in the wash, and just gone forward like that. Like, I see both sides of it. I am leaning more towards just don't tank, but also don't sell out to try to make the 10th seed. Just roll with what you've got right now. If a deal presents itself for Evan or for Aaron and it makes sense, you move those guys, especially Evan, Kem as well. Excuse me, I keep mixing them up. and then just see what happens the rest of the season. Like, I'm looking at the standings for the entire league. I don't see the Magic, you know, getting a like a top three pick as far as like lottery odds go. So Minnesota, Detroit, those are the two teams in my opinion that are going to be fighting over the like the number one seed. Then you've got the Wizards, the Cavs, and the Magic. I could 100% see that seeing the Magic finishing as low as fourth, maybe third, if you move some of those guys. And then you just have to hope and pray that the lottery balls bounce your way and you end up with the guy that you want. Now, we've been watching these G League Ignite games all week. Jonathan Kuminga looks amazing. I mean, everyone's been talking about Cade Cunningham being the number one pick. In my opinion, I'm not saying that I would take Jonathan Kuminga over Cade, but I definitely think where it's been this conversation of it's Cade, I could see teams talking themselves into being like, well, maybe it's Jonathan Kuminga, because as well as Cade has been playing, and I think Cade has more of an upside of Jonathan Kuminga, but Jonathan Kuminga looks like a guy who might be able to from day one contribute, not saying he's Zion, but kind of in that same fashion where day one he's able to contribute to a decent team. If you're dominating G League guys, I'm sorry, for like the college basketball fans out there, there's no competition. The level of competition in the G League is better. There are probably 95% of college players would give their arm just to be able to play in the G League, because that's how good you have to be to get to the next level. If you're dominating the G League, you could drop 30 points a game in college. If you're giving me like 20 and 10 in the G League, which Jonathan Kuminga is pretty close right now, I believe, to me that says a lot more about Jonathan Kuminga. But you know me, I'm all over Jalen Green. I have been for weeks. He's looked amazing. The last couple of games for the G League Ignite, with I think an exception of today, but yeah, this front office has a tough decision to make, and I think that biting the bullet for the next couple of months, and then moving forward with what should be a core of like Chuma, Cole, Jonathan, Markel, and another lottery pick, and then within 3-4 years, like this team should be ready to compete for a title if those guys work out and you draft the right way. If we keep this group together, like, if Vooch is still the best player that we have in 3-4 years, we're not competing for a title. There's just no way. If Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier are on the team 3-4 years from now, we're not competing for a title. I've seen what I need to see out of these guys at this point, and that's what it comes down to me. I don't think that tanking is, you know, more beneficial than trying to win games, but you have to look at these things on a case-by-case basis, and in this case, we have seen enough.
Yeah, I mean, you're beat up so badly. Why not? Like, why not just, like you said, you don't have to necessarily tank. And I think we're hesitating to use the word tank as to what we want the Magic to do, because it has such a negative or a polarizing connotation around it, especially with just everyday NBA fans. Like, oh, no, you shouldn't tank. You should always want to win. We did want to win. We wanted to win. And then both our guys got their ACLs torn out from under them. So, like, no point in just, like, continuing to preach winning. This team's not winning anytime soon, meaning this year. So, like you said, don't sell out to get the 10 seed. That would be just disastrous. Don't sell out for the 10 seed. Think about the future. And that's it. It's the same message that we've been preaching probably the last week, but now I'm preaching it even more, because it seems even more bleak that this team can do anything this year. It's a wrap, and they just need to, you know, develop your own guys. You're not going to win many games, but that's the case, and you can't help it. So that's it.
And when I talk about selling out for the 10th seed, I don't mean make some like crazy, ridiculous, drastic move like we did, you know, 5 or so years ago, trading Tobias Harris for Ersan Ilyasova and Brandon Jennings and convincing yourself that was going to be enough to make the playoffs. I don't see the Magic doing anything like that. I'm more so talking about getting an offer for Evan Fournier that you can live with, but also with the understanding that that is going to be the end of your season, right? Because that's what would happen. Yeah. Like, if you're moving Evan Fournier, you're giving up on this season. That's what you're doing. But looking a trade that you could live with, looking it in the face and saying, no, we'd rather try for the 10 seed. That's where I'm at. We will never hear if like what the truth is in regards to that. Like, if the Magic do have a deal and they end up passing that up, we'll probably never hear about it, you know, or you know, like we have, like, before this season, it was like Trevor Ariza and like a first round pick for Aaron Gordon or something like that. We might never hear that the Magic had a really good offer for Evan Fournier and then just decided to push for the playoffs. That, in my opinion, is just like demonstrable. You cannot afford to do that. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, push this team all in and say, okay, we're going to make the 10th seed if you have a decent offer. If you're not getting a good return for Evan Fournier or you're not getting a good offer for Aaron Gordon, I think any offer for Cam, in my eyes, is good enough, because the goal is just to free up time for Mo Bamba. They could give us Frank Mason with a strained groin. You know, at this point, I'd be like, fine, whatever, just get Mo on the floor. But in regards to Evan and Aaron, if they have legitimate opportunities to deal those guys, they need to do it. If they don't, I think that's a failure on the part of the front office. Because, again, I just don't believe in the veteran core that we have long term.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, I mean, that's it on that topic for me, because, I mean, it's going to be the same message, guys, for the next month, too. I mean, I don't think we're going to waver on what we want at trade deadline.
Yeah, the next 5 weeks, I mean, unfortunately, this team is just in a position where not much is going to change in, like, the near future. Like, this team isn't going to go on, you know, like, any type of run where they win, you know, 7 or 8 out of their next 10 games. With this roster, it's just not going to happen. And, you know, the second half of the schedule is going to be significantly tougher than this first half was. So I think the front office also needs to keep that in mind. But looking at next week, we touched on it just briefly, but the Magic won't play again until Wednesday against the Knicks. So the Magic are back home this week. That West Coast road trip happens twice a year, and it sucks twice a year. Having to stay up until, you know, 12, 1 a.m. for these games is rough, but back home on Wednesday against the Knicks. That game will start at 7 o'clock. The Knicks are 13-15 on the year. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. Then we've got the Golden State Warriors again on Friday. Golden State is now 14-13. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. And then we play Detroit on Sunday and then again on Tuesday, actually. So if we lose, we talked last week how, like, we were either going to go 0-4 or we were going to go 1-3. We went 1-3. If we go 0-3 on this week and then we lose to the Pistons twice in a row, that should be all that this front office needs to see, and they should just, you know, pull the plug on the season. But versus Detroit on Sunday at 7 o'clock, they're 8-19 right now. They're 4-6 in their last 10, so that means they started 4-13, and they've gone 4-6 since then. We're 10-18 after starting 4-0, and we were 6-2. So since that time, we've gone 4-16. So that's really exactly good. 1-5. So
that's really good.
It's hard out here for a Magic fan. That's just the whole story.
Yeah. Since we give our predictions every week, I will just 3 games this week, like you said. 2 of the teams are trending in what seems to be the right direction. I'll say the obvious here. I don't think the Magic are going to be pulling off any miraculous wins anytime soon. I'm just going to say 1-2, and believe me, it hurts me to say that I think we're going to lose to the Knicks.
Yeah, definitely. I think 1-2, definitely a possibility for this team to go 0-3. There's, I think, for the near future until we start getting multiple guys back, I think that's going to be a possibility each week. We're going to see a lot of losing weeks. And I promise you guys, if we go 0-3 this week, the podcast next week is not going to be pretty. It is really not, because at that time, we're going to be, if that all comes to fruition, we're going to be coming off of a loss to Detroit, going to be playing Detroit again that Tuesday. So if we lose to Detroit on Sunday, you know, there's reason to believe we could lose to Detroit on Tuesday as well. And if we go 0-4 over these next 4 games, that, to me, that's got to be the season. Like, that's got to be it. Like, 8-9 guys, you know, and let's give props to the guys for fighting this week, playing with, you know, 9 guys for, you know, one of those games, and then 8 guys for the last 2 games of the week. Just hats off for the fight that they showed. But if you can't beat Detroit one of those 2 games, I don't care if it's eight guys, nine guys, seven guys. I don't care if it's five guys. This Detroit team is terrible. And with Nikola Vucevic, you know, they should find a way to beat Detroit, you know, hopefully, you know, both times, but it should be at least one of those times. And I say hopefully, you know, lightly. Luke doesn't really sound like he's all that hopeful that we'll beat the Pistons. So,
no.
But anything else, Luke?
No, I think that's it for me. Let's get to the trade deadline. I wish we could just speed up, you know, the next few weeks here and get to that point. But for now, we've got to rough it out. So let's continue to be the fans that we are of our dear Orlando Magic.
Well, I appreciate everybody that is still rocking with us and still listening, because, I mean, one, to even watch these games says a lot about somebody if they're willing to take time out of their day to do that. And then if you still care enough about this team right now to listen to a podcast every week, like, hats off, like, you're the real MVP. Something that just came to mind when you're talking about wanting to fast forward the season that really makes me a little sad is I've seen some talk. You know, we've been talking about how next year, you know, we'll have Jonathan back, we'll have Markel Fultz back, blah, blah, blah. So Markel tore his ACL in the beginning of January. So if this season, you know, starts up in, you know, like October or November, there's a legitimate chance that we don't see Markel Fultz to start the season. And that wasn't really something that had dawned on me. You know, usually at the absolute least, it's like a 9-month injury. And then yep. it's usually about like 10 to 12 months. So I had these, you know, dreams of you know, gumdrops and rainbows in my head of that first game back in the Amway and Jonathan mm-hmm. Isaac and Markel Fultz standing, you know, walking onto the floor together and the place just erupting. But that's probably not going to happen. It's probably going to be two separate returns. Yeah. Jonathan should be back for the beginning of the season, and Markel, I mean, we'll kind of just have to wait and see how his recovery goes, but you're probably looking at like perhaps a month or two of next season without Markel. So I don't know if that had dawned on you, but it dawned on me recently, and it's pretty depressing. So
yeah, thank you for that. That's great.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Whatever. I mean, I'll look at it from this way. Those guys deserve, you know, their own standing ovation separately. So we'll go that route, all right? J.I. gets his.
I don't know that my heart could handle both of them coming back together. I think I would legitimately cry tears of joy, both of those guys returning together.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to cry tears of joy anyway when J.I. comes back his first game, so it doesn't matter.
Dude, whatever. Hey, Jonathan Isaac is coming out with a clothing line, apparently. I promise you, I will be rocking that 100% for my boy. So, mm-hmm. Anything else, Luke? I think that's all I got.
That's it for me.
All right, well, let's get some W's this week. What do you say, folks? But anyways, for Luke, this has been Jonathan. That. Luke is like, let's not do that. But anyways, guys, you have been listening to the Six Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya. Thanks for listening to the Six Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. Please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It would really help us out a lot. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @SixManShow and like us on Facebook. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!